Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, this is Martin from the Big Inside View. You're about to listen to Graham's analysis of Liverpool 2, Sevilla 2. To listen to the full 45-minute Champions League roundup and get all of Graham's shows, including September's socio-only big interview with Ledley King and next month's exclusive with Robbie Keane, head to patreon.com/Graham Hunter. Enjoy.
Liverpool 2, Sevilla 2. I enjoyed the game. It was a strange old game. Liverpool's defending. We could probably do a separate podcast on that. But it was, you know, Sevilla came away with a point in a game that they could have lost, and also they could have won right at the death with that glorious chance. So what did you make of it overall?
Well, let's stick to a theme. They could have been pumped. I think there's a case to say that they should have been pumped. I thought Sevilla in the first half, maybe up to the first hour, were atrocious. And, you know, what's very clear is that we saw themes that represent more than just that match or the coaches or the personnel, in that when Salah makes and gets Liverpool's second goal, a turnaround, one goal deficit, and to emphasise that Sevilla are faulty and slow and lacking in combination and communication all over the pitch, and are not holding the ball and controlling the game. They don't aspire to be like Guardiola's Barca, but number one, they're built by Monchi and by the new football director. They're built to pass, to hold the game, to control the tempo. You saw it. If you come to Sevilla for the first time and you look at them at Anfield last night, you wouldn't believe that that was the aim of whoever put the team together or the coach. And when they've gone 1-0 up, and okay, I want to know what you mean by Liverpool's defending, because Lovren makes a mistake, and a bad mistake. But I think Liverpool's defending refers to something completely different than that. In that, you know, this blitzkrieg football that they play, with guys who understand each other, who are pacey and releasing the ball, pacey and getting into spaces to ask for the ball, and then two or three of them are outrageously quick on the ball.
Yeah.
And that will, you know, I think that will seduce many people. I think many teams won't cope with it. And Sevilla, for an hour, were not coping with it and were made to look creaky and confused and ill at ease. And when Salah maybe commits a foul, I think it's debatable. In Spain, when Salah robs Nzonzi of the ball on the edge of the box, in Spain, 8 times out of 10, a referee will give that as a foul because he's almost come in from behind. And we know that referees, even if you come in from the side now, are not very tolerant under the new laws of the game. For your taste and my taste, I think that, you know, I thought fair enough in Nzonzi.
Yeah.
Be aware it's Liverpool. Be aware it's the Champions League, not Spain. When you're on the edge of the box, in Spain, you'd have been able to walk away with the ball, and it would have been a moment of real danger for Liverpool, because most strikers won't chase back and press in the way that Salah did. So there was a gigantic message for La Liga football, for Sevilla, and for Nzonzi in that microscopic moment. Irrespective of whether you call it a foul or you don't call it a foul, that was about philosophies. It's almost taken in La Liga football that that's not gentlemanly. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They would take it like, who was a famous New Zealand player to try and, he was one of the brothers, and to try and win the game, he bowled the final ball underarm, which is actually allowed in the laws of cricket, but you know, he's called a scumbag for the rest of his life. Well, that's what people would think about Salah doing that. And that's ridiculous. And he gets the deflection off Kiar, who's funny because, you know, as a Dane, half his family are fanatical about Liverpool. And Kiar went into the match saying, I don't know if any of my family will be supporting me or the team because it's Liverpool. So he gets a draw, but just to get his family off the hook, the ball goes in off him. But that was a clash of philosophies, Martin. And when Sarabia comes on, and when Luis Muriel, the Colombian striker that bought for Udinese, comes on, that's where I want to talk about. Lovren, you either sell him or you teach him or you squeeze out mistakes and fine. Liverpool's defending is about, you know, it's super ironic, and I do not shy away from using this anecdote again, but I was sitting listening to one of our guests on the big interview, Graham Souness, explaining Find the Dope. And it riveted me about, it was a concept which existed at Liverpool before he signed for Middlesbrough, but it was Bob Paisley who told him and his teammates, whenever the ball goes out of play, good teams come alert, bad teams rest. And this is one example of many, but when Pizarro goes off injured, the concept of Sevilla having three joint midfielders almost in a line in Zonzi, Pizarro and Banega, who's given room, is abandoned. And that is something, that's a line of talent and work that will see them through 90% of their matches in La Liga. But they bring in Sarabia, and Sarabia is mobile, presses differently, and opens up passing options that mean that Liverpool have to spread a little bit, and therefore their press and their unity is just a little bit different. It's a nuance. But Sevilla begin to keep the ball. And Nzonzi, who's a weird creature, and last season when I interviewed him after a brilliant game, I get to name man of the match for a lot of the UEFA games that I go to. And Nzonzi won my man of the match a number of times last season when Seville, I think, had 7 clean sheets in 14 matches. And Nzonzi was the metronome, the beating tempo of every game, fast, slow, when I give it short, medium or long, and he's exceptional. One mistake last night that we've identified. But when I interviewed him for the first time, he said, I actually prefer being in a one-man holding or at best two, but not three in midfield. He said, I want there to be more space between us so that there are better passing options, so that whoever's playing beside me is allowed not to be manacled to me 15 metres away. I want them, because he's so confident on the ball, he said, I want them to be able to move in different angles around me so that I can keep the players who press me running. So that's a personal thing. And it's what happens. You know, with Pizarro going off, Sarabia does exactly that. Sevilla begin to control the play. And it's so ironic that given Souness and Paisley's Find the Dope, bad teams go to sleep. When the throw-in is taken to Luis Muriel, this Colombian who's the all-time most expensive player Sevilla have ever bought, they took him from Udinese, and he's still only blending in. This was his first, they've played 2 qualifying games. This was his first Champions League minutes for the club. If you look, it's just, you know, Liverpool aren't my team by any stretch of the imagination, but it would drive you absolutely crazy. When the throw-in comes, it's Bob Paisley speaking from the grave about his own team. Around him, I think there were 6 red shirts, and they're all looking off in different directions, yeah. And nobody is picking up Muriel at all, and he gets to do what he wants, and it doesn't need to result in a goal, and there's a little bit of fortune when he gives the ball to Correa, that you know, that there's a slight, the ball gets mixed up between Correa's own feet and befuddles Liverpool's central defence, and that is luck. But the space that the Colombian gets is unpardonable. And I think that's defending too. And I think that is something that how it is that Klopp has these players who drop their intensity. And it happened right throughout the second half, to the point at which Liverpool began to be stretched and not notice space when it was arising. And you're right, in the end, Muriel's clean through, should have scored, probably looks as if he'd had, you know, five or six games more this season, he would have done. And boy, would that have been daylight robbery if Sevilla had come away with a 3-2 from Anfield, given the absolute pasting they took mentally, physically, strategically, in terms of pace for 55 minutes or an hour, Martin. Football's weird, man. Weird.
Yeah, I mean, I think I saw some quotes from Klopp today actually talking about that concentration thing. And he was talking about, look, it's not just about going out and spending lots of money to get a Virgil van Dijk or something like that. It is about
crucial
moments and managing to maintain concentration, which is just a...
You've been generous there, because I haven't read those words. I didn't know those words existed. It just, you know, over our journey, you and me and Neil, we've all obviously studied these things more closely because we've been trying to communicate them in book form. Mm.
Well, actually,
and maybe you knew it. Maybe you know, you play a lot of football. Maybe you absolutely lived and breathed.
Well, listen, I've got Klopp's exact quote here. Actually, he says, "If these problems could be solved by one player, then you can imagine we would have put all our money into it and say, let's do this. But it's not about this. It's about concentration in a game when you are dominant for long moments. We need to learn to be dominant and not give easy goals away. It's not a general defending problem, but we have to improve 100%.
Well, let me take you back to what we, you know, what I often try to talk about in terms of the players I know really well at Barcelona, Madrid, and Spain level. The ones who are the very best, in my experience, over meeting them and watching them train, listening to them, travelling with them, are the ones that aren't simply blessed with the right talent and athleticism. They're brutally competitive, brutally, and I don't want to give too much away, but you and I sat with Robbie Keane the other day and we got on to his and our concept of what you're in the game for. And he agreed with me that there are a lot of people, players and managers, who aren't in it to win. They think they are. Mm-hmm. They think that they're high level. They think that they're competitive. But in their heads, they're in it to show, or to earn, or to beat their man, or to finish top three, or to avoid relegation, or to get the next good car. And that they actively think that they're at their best, but they're unknown, unrecognisable creatures to the Xabi Alonso's, Raul's, David Villa's, Xavi's, Gerard Piqué's, Leo Messi's of this world, who... we get caught up in describing the things that they do well that we notice. But what we need to talk about is their outright dedication day in, day out to being the best, to being mean, and I mean mean, to being ruthless, to changing their mentality. And you see it even in there, those ones that I'm eulogising, you see it dip because they're all human beings and something happens off the pitch or in their family life or... they just, you know, like Deco and Ronaldinho, have a couple of years of partying, whatever it is. But that idea, and I know Barry Hunter, who's chief scout at Liverpool, listens to our interviews. That idea is one of the things that fascinates me about the work that, say, for example, Monchi does at Sevilla, or they seem to have got it right at Monaco too. And I'm not for a second... not for one second criticising Liverpool. I'm saying that the challenge that faces the people who select well and scout well and buy well is how you buy personality and character. And if you remember, when Liverpool, way ahead of Arsenal, saw the potential that Alexis has and were ahead of Arsenal in trying to get him, I know that Barry and his colleagues followed him. How does he live? Where does he go? What does he do? When he's in a cafe or a restaurant, is he drinking brandy or Pacharán, or is he drinking water? Is he drinking coffee? What kind of guy is he? Now, those might seem extreme ideas, but to me, I don't think necessarily how you affect that and following somebody is maybe a subject that we set aside. But gleaning what kind of person you're buying is, I think now, with the degree of money which is in the game, the degree at which people can be comfortable with one big move, gleaning the personality of a squad and who you're adding is more important now than it has ever been. And while the onus is on Klopp not to allow teams like Sevilla back in off the canvas, that's what it was. It was off the canvas. Now, Klopp will get the responsibility. Klopp will get the blame if it doesn't change. But it's about people. It's about how much winning and losing means to you. And it's about making it a habit that you are, that you, first of all, some people might need to be taught that find the dope lesson and not be the dope. And it's frustrating that elite level footballers who are earning £120,000 a week need to be taught that. But teach them it. And that's what I saw of last night. And Sevilla will have got more than the point, more than the relief, more than the displeasure of Baritzo getting himself sent off. And he said after the match that when he threw the ball away twice, the first time it was out of frustration, he makes no bones about how he was trying to waste time. The second time, he was trying to do himself, and he said there was instances before where we got advantages, and I was trying to even it up because we were searching it there, and I got rid of the ball when we were looking at it. And it, like, yeah, that's what when you go to the teacher and say, all right. See, this time it wasn't the dog, right? They ate the whole dog. What happened was, right, I was out with the dog. I was carrying the homework. The dog and I were talking about the homework. And what happened is somebody came up to me in the street, punched me, stole the dog, and threw the homework in the canal. How about that, teacher? You're like, listen to Breach, and you're like, aye, son, that's a good one. That's a really good one, that. No community chest. It's go to jail, do not pass it.
To hear the full show, including Graham's analysis of Barca's 3-0 win over Juventus and Real Madrid's matchday 1 win over Apoel, head to patreon.com/GrahamHunter. Socios get over 8 hours of bonus content every month, including an exclusive big interview. In September, we had Ledley King, and coming up in October, we've got Robbie Keane.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.